Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Thanks for continuing being with us here on Circles of Change, our special show where we're touching in and getting wise advice and experiences real time from five students based at Purdue University. Steve, I'd like to spend a little bit more time with you, just one-on-one, and then we'll wrap everybody else in. Part of the job search process, of course, a lot of universities have placement services that can help out. I assume that's a resource you've leveraged in the process, as well as these other more entrepreneurial feelers you've put out?
The primary resource that I've made use of has been within my own department in horticulture.
Okay, specific.
So there are resources here at Purdue, and I'm sure at every college, but I find the most use from academic advisors and some of the secretaries that they get emails or hear talks or hear things from companies, and then they forward on opportunities, whether it's a scholarship or an internship, mm-hmm. full employment. So throughout my 4 years here, I've had countless emails from many of the same people over, and they have opportunities for me and for other students to take advantage of. So those resources have been very important, and that was, thinking back to 3 years ago, that was how I landed my first internship, was through an email like that.
I know, in fact, that's a really, really good point, because many times the first court touch for alumni who are out in the field is back to the professors that help put them in the workforce. So they're more apt to contact professors and say, hey, can you point me in the direction of some students who might be, even a project connected with a course, but of course the opportunity to talk about internships, research fellowships, and the like, that the professors are a font of contacts that over the years they're happy to connect you with. I think the other thing, of course, is that, carrying your Purdue alumni card to get connected with other Purdue alums that are already out in industry is a great networking venue.
Yeah, certainly that's one of the things I look forward to upon graduation, still maintaining my roots as an mm-hmm. alumnus, and, reaching out to other alumni that I meet, or, those random occasions. Two or three times I've been in an airport, and mm-hmm. for some reason I always wear a Purdue shirt whenever I fly. I just have the feel that it's the right thing to do.
That's the right thing to do, yeah.
I've had two or three people come up to me and say, hey, boiler up. How's Purdue? Basketball season's going great. Anything like that. And I just get such a kick out of it. It almost sounds cheesy, but it really is something I enjoy and something I really look forward to in the future.
Or that's like me. I get on the plane and I'm unloading my stuff, and sitting behind me are three Notre Dame fans with all their paraphernalia flying off to the football game. And so I just started singing the Purdue fight song. So it works both ways, doesn't it?
Yep.
Yes, indeed. Well, Steve, I'm not asking you to bare your soul about regrets or anything like that, but it's kind of a question, and I'm going to turn this to everybody, even back to Lauren, who's really earlier in your career, college career than others of you. But as you sit back, even at this point, about to leave, if you had to do your college experience all over again, would you do anything different?
One of the things that I'd probably try to do is maintain contact with some of the people I've met, in my various organizations mm-hmm. and fraternity experience. Meet a whole heck of a lot of people, and I guess one of my weaknesses is maintaining that contact. And on a semester to semester or week to week, I've lost contact with people, and I love seeing them on campus, but it's not the same as if I had reached out to them constantly and met up with them maybe for lunch or dinner or something. Mm-hmm. And maintain that contact. So if I could do it all over again, I'd try to maintain all my bases and remember the people that I met, way back freshman year residence hall. So.
And when, the other point is you never know when they're going to resurface in your life regardless. So I think I know I'm surprised for any of us that have gone back to high school reunions, I know, and for me now, older than you folks are, to college reunions. It's funny how you indeed end up spending time with people that you hadn't necessarily hung out with as much. But, that's something that can play forward. If you think about the kind of decisions you made then, Steve, during your three and a half years here, can you think and share with us, were there any real major forks in the road where you felt, I could either go to the right or go to the left?
Certainly. I had the opportunity to increase or be a leader in my fraternity,
mm-hmm,
the vice president or the president. But at the same time, I had the opportunity to be on the eight-person committee that leads Purdue's orientation program. And thinking about it and thinking how it would, what would best benefit my future career, kind of made a choice, and I chose to go with the orientation committee and go with that option. And really, whenever I've come to a fork like that, I always try to choose what's best for me and then just run with it.
Make
the decision on the fly and just try not to look back too much and just enjoy what I choose to do.
Yep. And so that's why I think, you know, even how we started this, your comment, and you said, gee, I wasn't feeling the senior stress until I came here today and you guys start stirring me up. My feeling is that's exactly how you're wired in terms of wanting to balance those things. Well, thanks for that perspective. So, you know, you've got a few months ahead of you and you've got an offer in line and some other options that keep brewing, right? So you're just going to continue to ride those waves, I take it.
Yep. Keep trucking along and just try to balance all, mostly the offers at this point, and balance job market, and try not to burn any bridges on my way out of here.
You got that. Is grad school on the horizon anywhere for you?
No, there's no grad school on the horizon.
Nope. Okay.
Full-time position upon graduation.
Good for you. That's really great. You going to take some time off, though, before you actually start work?
More than likely. I think my mom is probably trying to live vicariously through me, and she keeps forwarding me emails, and I'm more than happy to get them about senior trips and...
Uh-huh.
My parents and even some of the employers that I've talked to have been encouraging and saying that if you want to start 2 or 3 weeks after graduation, that's great. You know, we don't have a problem with you going to see the world, and I certainly would love to do that.
Yeah, good for you. We're going to keep us posted. Well, let's turn to the whole group now. I'd like to go back to that last question I posed to Steve and get some of your thoughts and reflections that if you had it to do all over again, you know, whether that's Dan and Amanda, you know, and Natalie as juniors or Lauren as sophomores, what might be some of the things you'd do differently, even, you know, now at this phase of your career? Dan, you want to comment on that one?
Sure. You know, I don't necessarily think that I have made any, quote, regrets,
mm-hmm.
Or anything that I necessarily do differently. I think that, as we talked about earlier, the college has really been a learning experience, and that's cliche, but I don't mean that just a learning experience in class, but it's been a learning experience in finding who I am and finding the things that I want out of life and the things that I want out of school and things like that. And so I always, you know, I tell people, I try to always look at the positive side of things. And so even when people say, you know, that they regret something, I don't necessarily like to call regrets, so to say. I like to say that maybe there are things that you might have done differently, or maybe things you didn't do maybe the way you wanted to, but it's not necessarily regret.
Mm-hmm.
But even still, I wouldn't say that I have anything that I've really maybe not done how I wanted to. I think, you know, going through the major changes in schools and,
right.
you know, having those kind of, you know, major panic moments is what I needed to kind of really push myself to really, you know, reach out to those resources that I needed to push me in the right direction.
Good for you. That's exactly right. Sometimes those impasses are some of our big growth points. Somebody else want to comment on that one?
I could comment. I actually totally agree with kind of what Steve said, maintaining contact with those that you were in organizations as a freshman or even in your dorm, things like that you might not have. And like you said, seeing them on campus is really great, but actually sitting down and talking to them and keeping that kind of friendship and relationship alive is really important. I wish I would have done that. But I also wish I would have, I don't necessarily, like Dan said, regret. And there's always room to start now and develop.
That's right.
But develop relationships with my professors more than them merely just knowing my name. And there are a couple professors out there and my academic advisors and student council advisors and people like that I do know really well and have a relationship with professionally and can really go to seek out guidance. But more so all of my academic professors, I feel, and especially since most of them are so heavily involved in the hospitality industry as well as coming back to push that upon us and help us out, just mainly develop better relationships with my professors. I wish I'd have done that, and I'm actually starting now.
Well, good for you, and I think you're right. It's never too late. In fact, I will tell that story for those who aren't familiar with Purdue University. We're talking about an institution that has approaching 40,000 undergrads, another probably 20 to 30 graduate students. This is a big place. It also has five campuses. And so on some regards, people say, well, you're just a number when you go to a big school. But au contraire, I will say, is that actually the faculty, even for times when they have to do a few of those lectures with 250 kids, they are as hungry for relationship with the students as the students are with them. So I think that's a wonderful point for you to bring up, Amanda. Please.
Sorry, if I can add something to that as well. I always tell people, yeah, you know, people are a little overwhelmed sometimes when they come to a campus. Yeah, we are 40,000 plus students, and, you know, we have faculty, you know, a large amount of faculty. But you make it as small as you want it.
Right.
And, you know, people don't always understand that. But you come in and you build those relationships. You build that group of friends, those group of networks. So you can really make it as small and as, you know, as intimate as you want it to be. And so just because you're in such a large university doesn't mean you aren't going to have such a, you know, a small, close-knit group as well. And I think all of us can contest in our individual majors. I know, especially with, you know, Steve and Amanda and Natalie and especially Lauren in pharmacy, that you really start to build those intimate relationships with certain people, and that's what really counts. And so you really don't have to worry about the number. Exactly.
I think that's right. And I would also suggest, and you all might chime into this, is the fact that you have a community around your major, then you also can get a community around these different extracurricular things you're doing. Like, I mean, look at the five of you. You really didn't know one another until you posted and became part of Old Masters. I venture to say the five of you, very diverse backgrounds and industries, you're going to be friends for life. It will be something you can carry forward.
Yeah.
For sure.
The forks in the road, though. Anybody want to comment about that? Any forks in the road you felt you traversed throughout your 4 years? The point I'm trying to help our listeners understand, particularly if we've got high school students and college students listening, is they're actually going to be around the corner more often than you realize.
I mean, I think every day is kind of a fork in the road. You make changes that, you know, or decisions that every day are going to kind of impact. You know, step one would be choosing your college.
Right.
Step two, choosing your major. And, you know, that's a whole nother fork in itself. But I think personally, I don't regret anything. I think everything is a learned experience. There's definitely opportunities that I should have taken advantage of in the past that I may have, not regret, but wish I would have kind of ventured into a little bit more. But now that I see that and taking those opportunities and kind of pushing forward and using them in the future, I remember my first interview was awful. It was pretty awful. And, you know, you take those experiences and you learn from them.
And everybody has a first interview. That's all there is to it. I mean, you just got to do that.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, as part of a little bit of homework light I gave my five guests was, indeed, I sent them the hefty article from the New York Times on what is it about 20-somethings? Why are so many people in their 20s taking so long to grow up? Just to kind of poke at this. And I thought maybe the five of you might want to give me your reactions to that article. You know, this whole concept of emerging adulthood. Somebody take the ball. What did you think of that article?
I thought it was it's kind of difficult to compare, but at the same time, kind of eye-opening.
Mm-hmm. You
know, how do my experiences, my own life, relate to this? Or, you know, am I going along the path to where I might take a long time to grow up, quote unquote? But mm-hmm. It was kind of eye-opening, like I said, and just trying to tailor my life and my lifestyle to the point where I know that I'm headed in a good direction and headed to the point where I'm not going to, you know, be loitering around for 5 to 10 years just waiting for something to come my way. I want to be the one to go out and find it.
Well said. Well said. Somebody else?
I think that it was, like Steve said, very eye-opening. But for me, it's not so much that it's waiting and trying to decide, like, what to do, because you're always going to have that, and you're always not. You're going to have a point in time where you don't know and where you are trying to figure things out. But I think it's during that process that you take that time and truly strengthen and develop who you are, what you believe in, qualities that don't necessarily pertain to exactly what job you're going to have and where you're going to be and what you're going to do, but that will guide you along the way to make those things successful, so that you do have strengthen yourself and that you do value the relationships you have with others and your family and stuff like that, because I think that's so important. And for me right now, even, I'm just taking those things one thing at a time and just trying to develop all the qualities that I possess to make a successful individual and just strengthen those, and then you'll eventually get it.
Well, I think also, Amanda, you shared in your own stories here on the show, three different internships, or two internships and now a study abroad. You're also pushing yourself into places that may not be that comfortable. So, you know, these college years are a wonderful time to experiment.
Exactly. I totally agree. And it's out of those discomforting situations and being out of your element that you do truly grow and truly gain new light and sometimes change things in yourself for the better.
Mm-hmm.
Really trying to find finding out what's not meant for you. You know, find out the things that you don't do very well and staying away from those, but at the same time steering towards the right things.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. It's just as important for us to be able to set our own boundaries and say that that doesn't match for me. Well, again, several of you have been involved in programs, or you continue to be, that are all involved with Legacy, of helping those that are younger than you. I mean, the three of you now involved with College Mentor for Kids, working with really young people. The effect you have on your roommates and those that you choose to live with throughout this experience. It's a really great time to be able to, you know, experiment and play that role of the mentor, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is very fun, yes. Just bouncing ideas off one another, like you said, our roommates, and even the people that I've, you know, in this old master's program, my friends now, that just learning from them. And, you know, I probably would have loved to try the College Mentors for Kids. I probably would have rocked at it. It would have been a nice change from my having to deal with my three younger brothers to maybe some nicer kids.
No, that probably wouldn't judge you, because you were their older brother. Well, we've had some listeners here today, I'm sure, that also are parents of budding high school and college students, or as well as professors and teachers and those with positions in colleges. You know, the five of you, what's your advice to parents as they help their young people navigate this whole college decision process?
I was actually going to highlight on that. I think the five of us can contest, and I know the article you are talking about kind of highlights about, I think the term is helicopter parents, mm-hmm. who, you know, kind of tend to hover over it and maybe tend to even control their control a little bit. And I think the five of us have, our family is kind of, have always been our cheerleaders. And I know, for example, I know Natalie, her and her dad have a, you know, they have a great relationship. I know for me, you know, my mom and my aunt have been my cheerleaders through everything. And we have these great relationships where, you know, our families are there to guide us and teach us what they can. But at the same time, they also allow us to go out. And sometimes them letting us go out, we are going to fall on our faces. Mm-hmm. But I think, again, that is part of us growing and us figuring out what works for us and what doesn't work for us and how to grow better as a person. And so I know, at least for me personally, my family has really allowed for me. Again, I know they're always there, you know, to fall back on. I know they're always, you know, my mom's got a new cell phone. She's always a text away. But they're always there to keep pushing us. But at the same time, they kind of have to let go of the reins a little bit and let us kind of do our own thing and make our own decisions a little bit so that we can actually grow up and kind of develop who we are as a person.
Well said. Somebody else on that same theme.
I definitely think that, you know, what Dan's been talking about, it's that whole issue of leading from behind comes in here, because I know my mom, she has always been, you know, someone that said, you know, you can do anything, Natalie, whatever you do, like, it's going to be awesome. And, you know, they're always there to, like, push and guide us and, you know, get us kind of on the right path. But, you know, we're the people that are going to be walking on it, you know, so they kind of have to let us do that. And I think it's the hardest thing ever for parents to be able to let go of those reins and kind of say, okay, you're on your own now. This is, you know, whatever you want to make it. And so for those parents, I definitely would say, breathe. It's going to be okay. Yeah, you know, as we've said previously, you might, you know, have a couple stumbles, forks in the road, things like that. But, you know, it's all going to end up well in the end. And, you know, they're going to be the survivors at the end of that thing, you know, having all these experiences that they've, you know, gone through. And I think the whole thing with, you know, what is it about 20-somethings? Why are they stuck in these ruts? I mean, more than ever, there's so many opportunities for us these days, you know, we hear about internships and, you know, teachers are saying stuff to us about what we should be doing. And I feel like, you know, even the internet and the media, there's so many outlets to say, you know, this is what we should be doing with our lives. Then we never want to mess up, you know?
Yeah, I like that.
We never want to make a move because we want it to be the right one. I mean, with Steve, he's got so many job offers right now. You know, it's figuring out which one is my path? Which one is going to be the one that, you know, leads me to happiness? And I think the whole consistent theme with all of us is just been to, you know, you can't have any regrets. You just got to do whatever you want to do and, you know, just run with it.
That's a really good point. So what you're saying is there may be, because there are so many choices out there, and there might be the expectation you got to get it right the first time, that a lot of young people are frozen in place.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, interesting thought. Well, any other thoughts from someone about that? Could we quick go around the table? Any closing thoughts here to share with our audience? Why don't we start with you, Amanda? Last time, what's your parting shot here for everybody here today?
Already. Well, I guess I'll touch two little topics, but to part with, just following your heart is just something that I try to do every single day, and I know that my parents are super supportive of that, and, I mean, especially my brother a little bit more so. I kind of kept it simple for him and stayed in state an hour away from home. He's been abroad for 4 years, and they've been super supportive, and my dad actually, in deciding my plans to study abroad this summer, he pulled me into his office and said, "Oh, okay, like, what do you have lined up for the summer? What job? Where are you going? Like, what kind of internship are you doing?" And I said, "Oh, you know, Dad, that's not really the path that I want to take this summer." And he said, "Oh, is that right?" And I told him my plans to study abroad. And at first, he was worried about my resume and the experience I had. And I said, "Dad, really, take a look at my resume."
I love it. Reverse coaching. That's what you did for your pop. I love it. Let's move to somebody else. A quick final comment.
I would definitely just say take advantage of everything. You know, you have a campus full of opportunities here. And
regardless of what campus you go to, you bet.
Right. No matter where you go and end up. And there's a lot of different pathways you can take. And any path you take really is going to lead you to something more rewarding than before. So stay open-minded about anything that you try. I think that's the key, is staying open-minded. And
do that. Dan, how about you?
Yeah, a couple of quick things. One thing that Amanda mentioned earlier that I really like is you are what you make out of situations. So, you know, everything is what you make it. So, you know, I feel if you go into a situation negatively, then, you know, most likely it's going to turn out negatively. But if you go into a situation with a positive mentality and try to look for the positive aspects of it, things are going to turn out well and better for you, which leads me into my next thing about always carrying a positive attitude. My friends joke me, but I always say, you know, you got to have your PMA, which is your positive mental attitude. And I truly feel that if you do have a PMA, if you have your positive mental attitude with you all the time, if you're putting positive things out into the world, positive things are going to come back to you in one way or the other.
Right. That's exactly right.
So
that's good. Any other couple comments before we close?
I'd like to leave you guys, and one of the quotes that my dad has drilled into my head and kind of mentored me with is, if you enjoy your work, you never work a day in your life.
Isn't it? That's absolutely right. Couldn't be better said. Well, to my five colleagues from Purdue University, thank you as well. I publicly offer for the wonderful experience you gave back to me back in November. And hail Purdue, right?
Yeah,
thank you. Terrific. All right. Thanks for joining me here today.
Zara.
Chaotic, that is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.